The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud progeny of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Howdy, folks. Lots happened between the last episode and this one. This is episode 33. This last month has been very interesting, folks. Oh, we've had a bunch, so let's just get right into it. I think everybody by now has heard of the case of Elliot Rodger, that shooting out in Isla Vista, California. Also the knifing. Also the running over of people with cars. Here's a story for those of you who haven't heard it already. Kid named Elliot Rodger. He's 22 years old. Apparently, he was a very, very disturbed individual. He decided, because life apparently wasn't going his way, the way he wanted it to go, that he would take it out on all sorts of innocent people. He decided to kill, apparently, three of his roommates with a knife. He stabbed them to death. Cut him up to death. But then he wasn't through. He also got in his car, ran over a bunch of people, and, oh, while he was at it, shot three other people with a pistol. So there are at least six dead, as far as I could tell. Three with a knife, three with a pistol, no, excuse me, seven. One killed with a car, and a whole bunch of others wounded with his car, some BMW car. I think we all feel for the families of those who were injured by this lunatic. Oh, by the way, once young Mr. Elliot Rodger got confronted by the cops because he ran into something and couldn't drive anymore and he saw the police coming up on him, he did like every other murderous coward recently seems to have done. He took his own life, killed himself, boom, with his own gun. You know, folks, like I said, I feel for the families. Their lives, like the folks at Sandy Hook, like the folks at other places where mass murders have taken place, or any other kind of murder has ever taken place, have been damaged in a way that's probably irrecoverable, completely at least. Their family members are gone. Their loved ones are gone, and they're never coming back. I just wish that Elliot Rodger could have been caught alive to face justice and then face Bubba in jail. Those of you cops listening, you know what I'm talking about. But no, he took the coward's way out. And he left in his wake of destruction and mayhem a level of damage, a level of harm to innocent people that can never be fixed. I don't know any sane person that wouldn't take a moment of silence for the families that were injured like this. You know, reading the story, I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes, like anything like this does. It is unfortunate that those who have a certain political agenda against the Second Amendment are now dancing in the blood of those who were killed by this madman. Yeah, the antis are at it again. Now they're talking about, oh, gun violence, universal background checks, all the standard stuff that you've heard before. They're doing it again. Well, yes, the three people who were shot, that's three people too many. They were innocent. They did nothing wrong. That's three people too many. Stipulated. Got it. Now, why are the antis ignoring the three people that were killed by that knife? How come they're not talking about universal background checks for knives? There were just as many people killed that this murderous psychopath killed with his knife that he did with his pistol. Where are the calls for background checks for knives? Oh, and since we're at it, what about all those people he hit with his car? There's no criminal background check required to purchase a car. There's no universal background check needed even to get a license to drive on public roads with that car. Why only focus on the shootings, but not the knifings, and not hitting people with the car? You know, it makes me think that the antis don't seem to care about tragedy, a tragic loss of life like this, unless it involves a gun. Is that how low they are? Those families who lost loved ones, are they any less consoled that their loved one was killed by a knife than a gun or a car than a gun? No, they're not. We talked about that in a previous episode. Dead is dead, folks. And what we should be talking about is violence, not just gun violence. Or should I say violence using a gun more specifically? This guy was going to kill people no matter what tool available to him. He decided he was going to kill people. He had this YouTube rant shortly before he did this and then took his own life. He knew he was going to die. Here's what he said. I quote, another option was Deltopia, a day in which many young people pour in from all over the state to have a spring break party on Del Playa Street. I figured this would be the perfect day to attack Isla Vista. But after watching YouTube videos of previous Deltopia parties, I saw that there were way too many cops walking around on such an event. It would be impossible to kill enough of my enemies before being dispatched by those damnable cops. Close quote. So here's what he just said, folks. Good guys with guns repelled him. He was afraid of the good guys with guns that might stop his murderous rampage. And indeed, he took his own life when faced with those good guys with the guns. We call them the police. Professor John Lott was right. And here's another example. This is what happens, folks, in gun-free areas like almost all of California, where I'm originally from. It's nearly impossible to get a carry permit there. Remember we talked about the Peruta case just a couple of episodes ago? Where San Diego was saying, you can't carry. Effectively, they banned both open and concealed carry. And the Ninth Circuit Court said, no, you can't do that, and gave constitutional reasons why, and cited all sorts of case law. Remember, the Second Amendment is a right, not a privilege. And if you're going to stop good guys with guns from carrying, then you're at the mercy of bad guys like this murderous psychopath, Elliot Rodger. A bad guy with a gun is stopped by a good guy with a gun. Sometimes that good guy with a gun wears a badge. Sometimes that good guy with a gun doesn't, like my father. Now, I did a little more looking into this particular tragic story, and I found out something else, too. Turns out, this kid's family is, well, Hollywood insiders. Yeah. His father is named Peter Rodger. He's a Hollywood director, assistant director. Basically, he's a Hollywood insider. He knows that whole crowd. He's part of that in-film crowd. Matter of fact, he was the second unit director for the movie Hunger Games. You know that big Jennifer Lawrence film just maybe a couple of years ago came out? Yeah. That one where she got the Oscar and she tripped on her own dress rather infamously. Good-natured laughed about it, said, oh, well, it happens. And, you know, she's an excellent actress. Well, that's the movie. This is the one we're talking about. This was a really big movie. Y'all know the plot, I'm sure. 12 children killing other children. This is in some kind of, oh, sick game that this movie portrays. It is a good movie. I mean, I have to say, it's a well-done movie if you toss out the violence of the subject. It handled a really violent, sick subject about as well as you can, I think. Well, the winner of this sick game among these kids who have to kill each other is the one who survives. Now, you want to make movies like that? Well, okay, fine. You have the right, and I support your right to make such movies. There's a problem, though. These same Hollywood people who are making these movies funny, they're the same ones telling us gun owners, us lawful gun owners, that we're the violent ones. You know, guys like Harvey Weinstein. Need I say more on that? So, we have all these violent movies made by, you know, fellas like Peter Roger, the father of this murderer. And by the way, I in no way blame Peter Roger for what his son did. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Mr. Roger had nothing, did not tell his son, go do this. So don't even think that I'm trying to say that, because I'm not. I am pointing out only this. Apparently it's okay to have movies with such violence like Hunger Games, the Lethal Weapon movies, the Rambo movies, Terminator, Predator, you name it. You know the ones. However, Janet Jackson shows a breast. And, oh my God, the world will come to an end! Oh no! You know, can we say hypocrisy? This whole situation reminds me of somebody else, too. That 16-year-old kid, the affluenza kid, Ethan Couch. Yeah, this is the kid who drove drunk, ran over people, and killed them. Four people he killed. And what happened to him? He got probation. Yeah, you know, that, I guess that's what happens when you're blonde, white, filthy, rich, from a connected family. Yeah. Can we say hypocrisy, folks? The ones who want to take our guns, us from us lawful, law-abiding gun owners. These are the same people, it seems, that are glorifying violence in the movies that they make. Matter of fact, the aunties take their kids to see these movies. But like I said, just let a female breast be shown on TV during an NFL game and all hell breaks loose. Even mention the very idea of nudity on TV like they do in Europe, for example, all the time. And the oh-so-progressive feminists label you a pervert, and they do it en masse. You know, wait a minute. Hold the phone here. Which one suggests to go out and kill people? Portraying shootings in movies? Or celebrating beauty like the tasteful way the Europeans do it? I know, I used to live there. And which, as a society, do we have this massive cow over? Violence in movies? Or celebrating the beauty of the human body in those same movies? It's the second one, folks. We don't seem to bat an eye over the violence. Hey, I'm from San Francisco, California, folks. Well, we're liberals, right? Aren't we, folks? Huh? Don't we believe in promoting peace and love and all that sort of thing? Make love, not war. I'm like my own parents that way. Maybe then we ought to start looking a lot harder at what the Hollywood producers are spoon-feeding the people of this country with these violent movies. Instead of trying to punish you and me, lawful gun owners, for some other person's bad behavior. Who told Elliot Rodger to go running over people with cars? You know, cutting people up, shooting at them. I don't know, maybe he watched Hunger Games. Maybe he watched the Terminator movies. Maybe he watched the Rambo movies. Or maybe he just turned on the TV. Maybe that's what we ought to be watching, folks. A lot more closely. Instead of worrying about people like my dad, you, and me. Take a short break. We'll be right back. We're back. Now, we just talked about a rather heartbreaking case. I'm afraid I'm going to have to dive right into another one, folks. Like I said, a lot has happened in the last month. just recently. Looks like a Northeast Georgia SWAT team did a raid on somebody's home, so you know, so-called drug or weapons raid, and they threw a flashbang grenade into a 1.5-year-old toddler's playpen. The grenade, of course, went off, and you can imagine what happened to that little baby. Yeah. I'm just reading this. This is on CNN, okay? I'm reading this, and I don't know what... I can't really say anything. I'm just... well, yes, I can say something. I'm going to say a lot. But it's one of those, I can't believe this is happening. Here's what happened. Apparently, there was an informant that purchased methamphetamine at the house before. Okay, fine. They caught drugs. So the informant tells police that there are men standing guard outside the home. It wasn't clear whether these men standing guard outside the home were armed. This is a home where apparently this, you know, drug deals are taking place. So the cops went and got a no-knock warrant. So here they come. They're all nice and quiet. And they hit the house's front door, the home's front door, with a battering ram, boom, to try to, you know, barge on in and, you know, start shooting or whatever. Well, the door resisted. Apparently, like something was up against it. So says the sheriff, anyway. So, what did one of the officers do? Pulls a flashbang grenade and tosses it inside the house. Yeah. What they may or may not have known, and I don't know if the cops knew this, if the SWAT team actually knew what they were tossing their grenade at, they sure got confirmation later, because they saw a blown-up little kid, 19 months old. The flashbang grenade had landed inside the portable playpen, and that's what was blocking the door. It was a little kid's playpen. The kid is in an induced coma. Half of his face is apparently blown off, and his chest is also seriously injured. He's about as critical as you can get. The perp that they were looking for, apparently he had a weapons charge. Okay, he's a bad guy. Understood. You want to deal with a bad guy who you think may have a gun in a way that you don't let him shoot you. Got it. The cops want to go home too. Got it. But I must ask, since this person is apparently so dangerous, why did they risk hurting other innocent people by tossing a flashbang grenade into the house without looking where they were throwing the darn thing? Folks, we know the rules of firearm safety. Rules number 1, 2, 3, and 4? Huh? What's rule number 3? Oh, no, excuse me. Rule number 4, rather. Rule number 4 reads, be sure of your target as well as what's behind it. Well, if that applies to a gun, doesn't it apply to a flashbang grenade too? I would venture that it does. And this is a problem that we're having with some of our police officers. Their attitude is, shoot first. Don't even worry about it. Shoot first. Just, you know, kill them all and let God sort it out. They're all bad in there. Didn't even occur to these, and I will say it, jackboots, that there might be children in this home. Excuse me, people. I'm going to always assume that there might be innocent people, especially kids in the home. And now a kid, a little 19-month-old, is fighting for his life as a result of this, as a result of what these cops did. If this guy, the perpetrator, what's his name? Thonathava, Mr. Thonathava. If he's that dangerous, well, sooner or later, he's got to come out of that house. Why not just do a stakeout, say, you know, with your radios, say, okay, he's coming out of the house now, and now that he's out of the house, you know, before he gets into his car, then surround him and take him in and book him. I think throwing grenades into a house, just toss the grenade on in, that ain't cool, folks. I don't care if you're the cops. That is not cool, and that is a mindset that needs to be changed. That's a big problem, and now a little kid is fighting for his life as a result. Uh-uh. Oh, this SWAT team, apparently they're getting death threats now, and I can't say that I have much sympathy for them, not after they did this. You know, matter of fact, a part of me is going, you know, they're getting what they deserve. I hope nothing happens to them. But if it does, after what they did to that little kid, I'm not going to shed a tear. Not after what they did. It's a little hard to do that, folks. What is happening to our cops? Let's continue. Now we have a police commissioner in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. Use the N-word against President Obama. Yes, the word nigger. We trust people like this with lawful deadly force against us? Huh. Well, eventually he resigned, thank goodness. And props to Mitt Romney. I do not like a whole lot of his politics. He reminds me of John Kerry II, basically. But, you know, the man spoke up. Apparently he has a residence there and said, no, this fella needs to go. This police commissioner needs to go. We can't have that kind of bigotry in our police forces. And after a lot of pressure, he finally did resign. That's just only after it made national news. Well, his arrogance is an example of power corrupting, and we the people need to do something a lot sooner about people like that. Now, I'm not saying all police commissioners are like that. This one was. Not all of them. There are plenty of good ones out there. But this guy? No. People need to do a lot better job of reining in individuals like him a lot sooner. Again, it's an example of power corrupting, and that's why there are checks and balances on people in power like that. We need to do a better job, folks. Now, the Department of Agriculture. Let's talk about that a little bit. Somebody alerted me to this over on amosmith.com. Thanks to the folks on that forum for alerting me to this. The USDA, the Department of Agriculture, I did some work for them back some years ago. Well, it seems that now, get this, they want to buy submachine guns. The Department of Agriculture wants to buy submachine guns. I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, wait a minute. What do they need with machine guns? This surprised me too, folks. Here is the solicitation that they put out about this. It's solicitation number USDA OIG WEA 5-7-14, which means it was put out just last month on May 7th, 2014, at 2:03 p.m. I'm going to read this to you. The synopsis. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Office of Inspector General, located in Washington, D.C., pursuant to the authority, you know they always got to say, pursuant to the authority of FAR Part 13, has a requirement for the commercial acquisition of submachine guns, 40 caliber S&W, ambidextrous safety, semi-automatic or two-shot bursts trigger group, tritium night sights for front and rear, rails for attachment of flashlight, front under foregrip, and scope top rear, stock collapsible or folding, magazine 30-round capacity, sling, lightweight and oversized trigger guard for gloved operation. No solicitation document exists. All responsible and or interested sources may submit their company name, point of contact, and telephone. If received timely, shall be considered by the agency for contact to determine weapon suitability. Now, the NAICS code is 922 Justice Public Order and Safety Activities /922120 dash, meaning for police protection. Wow. Now, I guess those cabbage bunches are, you know, about to overthrow the government, huh? What about the carrots? And, you know, don't even think about, you know, Mr. Potato Head. Oh, man. You know, I think just last week, I heard something about Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. You know, they're committing, you know, they're about to commit an uprising against our elected officials, you see. They're going to, you know, go Waco on Washington, D.C., supposedly. You know, all the spuds are going to rise up out of the ground and attack federal officials. I can just hear it now. Mrs. Potato Head saying, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." Why do they need this? You know, this goes back to the last episode when I talked about Senator Rand Paul's answer to my question why the cops are arming up like military style. And he spoke of every agency, it seems, getting their own SWAT team. Why does the Department of Agriculture need a freaking SWAT team? Why? It concerns me, folks, just like it did back then. Well, here's why it concerns me. We're going to talk about this when we come back. We're going to show you what federal agents sometimes do with that kind of firepower. This just happened about 3 weeks ago, so it's fairly recent. Stay tuned. Okay, we're back. A lot of you who either are or were in the law enforcement profession, you're probably not too happy with me right now. You're probably not too happy with what we've been discussing. I wish more of your colleagues would follow your example instead of the example that you're about to hear. This astonishes me. We're going to talk about a case here in Alpine, Texas, just last month, May 7th. Apparently there was some raid on some place called, The Purple Zone, yeah. Apparently it's a place to sleep and study, close to campus. Purple Zone is some kind of place of business. Apparently there were some things going on there that shouldn't have been going on there. Okay, fine. So the cops perform a raid. They send in the SWAT team. Matter of fact, federal agents. Yeah, the feds got involved this time. Yeah, there are also some local agents, but this is primarily, apparently, a federal operation. So, the agents are doing their raid. Let's see. What does he say here? Oh, yeah. It's the address is clearly labeled from the street. His apartment is 705 and a half. There's a gate that separates his front door and yard from this place called the Purple Zone, and also there's a separate mailbox. So he sees this after his final exam. He's heading back to his apartment. He arrived at his apartment. He sees agents in front of his apartment and thought, oh, okay, they're raiding the Purple Zone. But no. Turns out that the officers were also in this fellow's apartment. This guy's name is Nicholas Branson. He's 30 years old. They refuse to let him enter his apartment. So he asked to see a warrant. Well, agents said, well, we have a warrant for the whole property. But they refused to show the warrant. Apparently, the warrant didn't list a physical address for the search and seizure. I guess the Purple Zone address was on an affidavit that was not presented at the time. Well, upon further questioning, the agents later admitted to Mr. Branson, no, we don't have a warrant for your address. So they went and obtained one after the raid. Apparently they found some frankincense, incense, seized from his apartment, as well as some rocks he collected to study. Last I checked, incense was okay. There's nothing wrong with incense. That's not illegal. Well, they entered his apartment at 10 o'clock a.m. without a search warrant, these agents, these federal agents. Only afterwards they got a warrant by the court. One agent realized, oh, no, I guess he's right. We don't have a warrant for this address. So he told the rest of them to leave. Then there's this other agent, apparently, who had choked somebody, told the apartment resident, Mr. Branson, he has to leave. It was then that Mr. Branson asked to see this warrant. Well, the agent responds, I don't need to show you an effing warrant. Yeah, he used the F word. So, Mr. Branson says, I need to see a warrant based on the Fourth Amendment. And the agent answered, oh, you're an effing lawyer now. All right, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Puts his finger on the trigger of his assault rifle, an M16. So what happens next is the warrant is issued at 11:58 a.m. This is well after agents had entered the premises. The agent seized all of Mr. Branson's hard drives, all of his flash drives, all of his camera discs, and his grandfather's shotgun. Yeah, they broke down his gate, destroyed a beehive that he maintains. Let's see, broke plates, ransacked his apartment, and now Mr. Branson is afraid that they're going to, you know, threaten him. You know, they're going to retaliate against him. You know, this guy's afraid to go out now because he's wondering, well, if I go out, what are they going to do? Are they going to kick my butt? Are they going to beat me up, maybe shoot me? Or, you know, charge me, you know, plant some stuff on me? Apparently, they say that they suspected he had shrooms. That's a federal crime. Forgive me, folks. We all know that in the past, officers have, well, planted things on people that they don't like. This 30-year-old fella is wondering, could that happen to me? Could I be the one? How is it that you violate the Fourth Amendment like that? Oh, by the way, when he had told them, hey, this is my house, the agents apparently said to them, well, that's the price you pay for choosing to live where you live. Now, hold it. Wait a minute, folks. That's the price you pay for choosing to live where you live? The Fourth Amendment goes out the window just because you chose a particular residence? Okay, well, I'd like to know where in the Constitution of the United States it says, okay, the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply in these parts of the United States and our territories. Now, if you thought that wasn't interesting enough, it gets better. Apparently, this fella, this Mr. Nicholas Branson, is a witness to something else that happened. Uh-huh. So I wondered, okay, what was he a witness to? Well, apparently, he was a witness to not just the raid, but also some interesting treatment by these federal agents. It turns out that the federal agents are from the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, you know, those kind-hearted folks. Well, I often also wondered, okay, what's this place called the Purple Zone, and why were they suspected of doing things that they shouldn't have done? Here's what this place called the Purple Zone is, apparently. I don't know how many of you are familiar with something called a hookah. It's something that apparently is used in Persian culture. It's basically like their version of a peace pipe. It's a hookah lounge. They breed, they train, they show Arabian horses. They do business with China. They do e-cigarettes. Apparently that's all bought from Chinese distributors. So basically, it's a place where you can go and have a smoke. And hopefully it's of legal materials. You can get horses from there. Let's see, what else did they get? They had something called Kratom, some herbal stimulant that apparently is legal. So basically, it's a new agey, Middle Eastern influenced kind of place. Okay, fine. Now, I'm just old enough to remember the tail end of the free love period out in San Francisco. Now, granted, there are a whole lot of things being smoked out there at that time. There is no question about it. But not everyone was smoking weed. Not everyone was smoking pot. There were people, you know, smoking tobacco as well, you know, through water pipes. Yes, bongs. Okay? I understand that. But just because you might have something like a water pipe, or also known as a bong, it does not automatically mean that you're smoking a controlled substance through it. That's got to be done through investigation, yada, 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 yada. Okay? So this raid by the DEA apparently was because they said, oh, well, they've got illegal materials. Apparently this isn't the first time that the DEA folks have done this. Apparently this is the fourth one. This is the fourth such raid. The owners are named Ilana Lipson and Rosa Lipson. Let's see here. currently under state indictment for multiple first-degree felony manufacture, deliver, possession of a controlled substance. This is following four previous raids in November 2012. Now, these folks have pleaded not guilty. She claims that internet search history and her dealings, her business dealings with China, were the cause for this most latest raid of this last month. Well, given what we know about the NSA, I actually believe that, because it is now known, it's common knowledge because of Edward Snowden's revealings, that internet search history is tracked by the federales. Now, according to Mr. Branson, whose apartment was raided, this is basically a botched raid they tried to cover up, looks like one of the relatives, what is her name? Ariel Lipson. She had arrived while this raid was going on. And she started asking questions, going, hey, what's going on here? Ilana Lipson's sister. That's it, yeah. Then, apparently, things got kind of ugly. The same guy who told Mr. Branson, oh, you're an effing lawyer now. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. Now comes walking up to her. He's, you know, good-sized guy, apparently. They all, you know, they're all in full tactical gear, M16 strapped to the chest. According to Mr. Branson, looks like four extra magazines. Okay, well, standard fare, I suppose, for a SWAT team. Goes up to her. She starts to back off. He says to her, hey, you need to shut up. So she says, what are you going to do, shoot me? Well, at that point, the officer grabs her by the neck. She flinches and says, get your hands off of me. Officer then says, that's resisting, throws her to the ground. Now, she tries to get back up. He grabs her and throws down again. As he throws her down, her foot hits him. Wasn't a kick. Apparently, it's what happens when you get your legs kicked out from underneath you and you get thrown to the ground. Now, I've done a little bit of martial arts, so I do know something about the leg sweep. There is a move called a leg sweep, and you can get your legs kicked out from under you, and your legs go flying. I've had it done to me. I've done it to other people in sparring classes. Well, when her legs apparently hit the officer's legs, then this officer goes, you just assaulted a police officer. Then he starts choking her with the butt of his gun, the butt of his rifle. Yeah. Now, I wondered, is this really true? I'm looking at a picture of the marks on Ariel Lipson's neck. It's on the left side. And as I look at it, I got to say, you know, I know something about M16s myself, having been in the Air Force. And since I work in a gun range, I work with AR-15s on a regular basis. I see them come in all the time. I take ours apart, all that other stuff. The mark on her neck looks like it could be consistent with the butt end of a rifle. Yeah, it's about the same size, about the right shape. Now, I'm not saying it absolutely did, but the mark is consistent with the butt of it, the size and shape of the butt of an AR-15. That's what I'm saying. Now, I gotta wonder, folks, what in the world is going on here? Folks, what disturbs me about all this, well, it's a few things. The flagrant violation of the Fourth Amendment, that's one. You know, a guy's apartment getting raided without a warrant. Then they go get one after the fact and destroy the place. That's one. Second, a raid on this place called the Purple Zone. Now, maybe they did have some illegal material, and if they did, well, then they should face justice for that. Sure, absolutely. Do your investigation, all that stuff. But there is a process for that. And last I checked, that process was called you get a warrant. The federal agents didn't have one. They went and got one after the fact. That's not how it's supposed to go. The Fourth Amendment is very clear about that. Here's what it says. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Now, I remind you, folks, these federal agents did not have a warrant. They did not have a warrant. They admitted as much when they were questioned by it. They said, well, no, at first, we got a warrant for the whole property. Then they said later, well, okay, no, we don't have one, but we're going to go get one. No. And also, just breaking into people's homes willy-nilly, you know, and just ransacking, looking for anything that you can try to find, that's a general warrant, folks. Uh-uh. That's unconstitutional. General warrants, you can't do that, at least not according to what you just heard. It said, remember, the Fourth Amendment said, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. General warrants done by the British were the reason that we have the Fourth Amendment. Now, of course, when Mr. Branson was saying, no, wait a minute, I want to see the search warrant. This DEA agent, decided to get aggressive, put his finger on the trigger of his M16. And, you know, start cussing him out. Now, think about it, folks. There's a guy here with a badge, a machine gun, and full tactical gear with his finger on the trigger of his machine gun. Oh, and he's got a legal license to kill you. Or at least that the Blue Shield's going to back him up, even if he doesn't have a legal license to kill you. What are you going to do? These are the people who are sworn to protect and serve us? The people who swore to defend the Constitution of the United States? And the Bradys say only the police and military should have guns. I'm amazed, folks. I got to ask the Bradys and anyone else who thinks like they do. So what happens, you know, in a case like what you just heard, when the police overreach? Who's watching the watchers? That's what we talked about in episode 20 back when. Now, for all you good cops out there, Jim, you know who you are, listener Jim, who sent me this last story. Thank you for doing so, Jim. He's a retired law enforcement officer. Swamp Grouch from the Liberal Gun Club. Sniper 20 and Jay Price from Ammosmith. And all you others out there I've met. They all know about the Blue Shield. Unfortunately, that Blue Shield protects bad actors like what you just heard about. We need folks like these good cops, like Jim, like Swamp Grouch, like Sniper 20, like Jay Price. We need folks, more folks like them, exposing this kind of thing, because they know better than most people what would happen if the public trust were lost in the police. Think about it, folks. There are, what, 300 million firearms in this country in private hands. Every cop knows body armor is not going to stop a .30-06 within 100 yards. I think we all know what that means. We don't ever, ever want to end up at that point as a society where we have to defend ourselves from, of all people, our own police forces. I don't think anybody sane wants that. I sure don't. No way. I know a bunch of cops personally. You know, they're my friends. They're my buds. I talk to them about this sort of thing, and they just shake their heads and go, yeah, we know there are some bad actors, and it makes us all look bad. None of us wants a loss of public trust in the police. And that's why episode 20 was so important. If you haven't listened to it, I suggest you do so. This is serious stuff, folks. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. How can we as liberals approve of the kind of stuff you just heard about? Well, unfortunately, that's what the antis seem to want. And this includes the antis who have armed bodyguards like Rosie O'Donnell and all of them. People, the key to freedom, whether you have a constitution or not, whether you have free elections or not, is still the ability to defend yourself. And if you don't have the tools to do that, then you're at the mercy of those who would do what you just heard. And the tools for that are guns. Just ask the Ukrainians if you don't believe me. This has been a difficult episode for me to discuss, folks. I hope it's given you some thought. Consider that our police agencies are arming up like the army. Consider why they're doing it. And ask yourself, who are they planning to make war against? Are they planning to make war against the army? I doubt it. Frankly, it looks more like they're planning to make war against you and me. And that's not something that we want. And that's not something that I think most cops want. So what do we need to do about it? What are we going to do about it? I would say start voting people out that support policies like this, that support the kind of actions that you've heard described here today in this podcast. That's why we do this. We're liberals, folks. If you've ever read the poem The Hangman, and I suggest you do, you know, first they came for all these other folks. Well, who's going to be left to defend you if you don't start getting involved in the political process? And I mean early on. This is Cowboy T signing off until next time. Till then, well, safe shooting. Practice often. Get involved politically. And thanks for listening to such a heavy subject. See you next time.